Hello, friends. So it is either March, June, September, or December. And with that being said, which you're probably like, why are you telling me this? I know what month it is. But those are the months that I get migraine shots. If you want more information about why or just my health journey in general, check out any of the Spoonie Life episodes, particularly, I believe, Spoonie Life Part 3 or 4 from Season 1 is where you'll get, I think, the most detailed, like, this is what I deal with, this is kind of what I do, etc. So, generally, I do batch recording, and what that means is I record a couple months in a row, and then I put out the content when I know that I'm going to be sicker. Obviously, with chronic health, you never quite know how you're going to feel from day to day, but I try to plan ahead. So just know that if there's any reference to time or time since a certain time happened or whatever, that is why it may be a little bit different, because we will be talking about when we're currently recording, how much time has passed since X, Y, and Z versus when the episode airs, that's how much time has passed, if that makes any sense. But anyways, let's dive into the episode. I hope you enjoy it. I know it's going to be a good one. Every single guest that I chat with and will be chatting with in the future is amazing, and I cannot wait for you guys to hear it. So let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Beautiful Legacy Podcast. I am your host, Abigail Gagnon, and today we have a special guest, and we're going to be talking all about art and self-expression and self-worth and those type of things today. And our special guest is Gurm. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Abigail. Thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm so happy to be here, and first thing I want to say is I love the name of the podcast, Beautiful Podcast, because I think being yourself is actually really beautiful when you're fully your authentic self. And I'm Gurm. I'm originally from India, but I grew up as a third culture kid, so I spent most of my life in China, studied there in international schools and universities, and then I did my master's in Hong Kong, and now I'm currently living in Phuket, Thailand. And yeah, I've always considered myself a global citizen and from the world, and also my art is from the world. I do drawing, painting, mixed media, writing, blogging, and currently I'm also working at UWC, United World College, International School, Thailand, as a library assistant. So that's a bit about me.
I love that. And thank you so much also for popping on so early. So for those that are listening, generally I record in the afternoon, but I'm recording this in the evening, and it is the next day. I'm recording this on a Monday evening my time, but it's Tuesday a.m. for her, which is really interesting to me. So she's already in tomorrow. So again, thank you so much for giving us some of your time early in the morning. And I know that you mentioned that you lived in multiple different places. What would you say your favorite place to live was?
That's a really tough question to answer, because I feel like I can fit in everywhere since I've been exposed to people from all around the world and different cultures, and whatever place I live in, I immerse myself in its culture. So I also celebrate the festivals, I eat the food, I learn the language, I just totally become a part of that city or culture. So it's very difficult to choose a favorite place, but I think all of them are equally close to my heart.
That's so awesome. Is there like a favorite thing that you've been able to learn about or a favorite language to learn? Or would you say that they're all kind of equal?
Well, I always find it fascinating to learn new languages and explore new places. But the place I've lived the longest in, I've lived in China for 23 years. So that's the place I've been most exposed to. And so, yeah, I think it's a good advantage to be able to speak multiple languages. So I speak English, Chinese, and Hindi, which is the national language of India, and Punjabi, which is my regional language because I'm from Punjab in Amritsar in the north of India.
That's super cool. And speaking of your art, what makes your art unique, would you say?
I think it would be the patterns because I use a lot of patterns in my work when I'm always fascinated by line shapes and colors and how to combine them and how to invent a new way of looking at them. Sometimes I just make up my own shapes that don't exist or a pattern just that just comes out of my head. And recently I've also started combining them with objects. So I make an object realistic kind of and then combine it with my pattern. So I think that's what makes my art unique.
That's awesome. And how long have you pursued art?
Well, I started at since my school days in art classes, but and then it was a hobby first, so it started out as something I just enjoyed doing in my free time and something that was very relaxing and therapeutic for me. And then it soon grew into a passion and something I couldn't imagine my life without. But before that, it was something I didn't like at all, because I was very bullied and judged and laughed at for it in my early school days. And so I did never imagine that I would become a professional artist one day, but through discovering my uniqueness and through this encouragement and support of my family, my teachers, who told me that art is just about being you. It doesn't have to be copy paste or it doesn't have to be exactly the way it's perceived to be because you can always create and invent something new. So that really sparked my curiosity, and I'm like, I can just try and explore and experiment. So that's how my art journey began.
That's super awesome. I think that it's interesting because a lot of people wouldn't necessarily classify podcasting as like being artistic, but then there are other people that do. But either way, I think that sometimes people get so stuck in, oh, it has to look a certain way. Like there are certain people in the group that you and I connected in, and it's nothing bad, but they'll make posts and be like, hey, like I've noticed this is how people do it, and I wanted to do it a different way. Is that bad? And I think it's good to like kind of gauge like, oh, well, maybe I'm making this more complicated than it needs to be. Or maybe, you know, if I were to do it a certain way, I could gain more of an audience. But I also think that to a point, like you're the boss of your own life. And so if you want to do your podcast or you want to do your art or you want to do whatever it is in your own way that works for you and it makes you happy and fuels your soul and impacts people, it shouldn't matter whether it looks different than everyone else.
Yeah, I absolutely agree because I think we get so sucked up in societal expectations and, oh, what will people think? Or oh, this is not the trending thing that is happening right now, or this is not the right music or the right wording. But I realized I was hiding behind this mask, and I'd put on this public face for many years that, oh, I have to, you know, be the way the perfect artist or the perfect person or the perfect friend, family member that society expects me to be. And I can't show my like weird, crazy, or like flawed side, human side, because that will just ruin what people think of me. It will just shatter my image, and I don't know how people will actually react to that. But I think when I was doing that, I lost myself and I couldn't recognize myself. And I think that's worse than what people think of you. So I just started opening up and being vulnerable. And I'm like, people are human, so we can all connect and relate to all the human aspects, the good and bad, high and low. So that's what I started also putting in my art and in real life. So
yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think I gravitate more towards people that are like genuine and authentic, and not necessarily like a curated, you know, beautiful aesthetic on their Instagram or whatever it is. And I think that people get so afraid, like, oh, if I have it like that, I'm not going to get as many followers or whatever. But I think that you will then attract the people that are like that, versus if you're completely curated and have like this perfect image, you're going to attract people that want that. And personally, that's not what I want. I would rather have people that are authentic and real and raw and want to share like their real life, because then I can relate to them. Like, sure, is it cool to see other people that have like this crazy life that's all put together and it's interesting to watch, like TV and whatever, but like at the same time, I would rather personally, like on a personal level, connect with people that are more down to earth and I can relate to it, them in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
And I know that you mentioned that you do multiple different kinds of art. So can you tell us a little bit about that? And do you have like a favorite way that you normally do art? And if so, what is that?
Well, when I first started doing art, I started with drawing, which is just like simple pens on paper. And that's still the one that I love the most and that I'm closest with, because I don't know, I just feel a special connection with it. I started painting with acrylic and watercolor a few years ago, and I also started doing, when I was doing my master's in visual arts in Hong Kong, I noticed something very interesting, that people use hair in their art. And I was like, hair is such an important part of me, and it's so important to all people, like their hair. And I love to put my story, my experience, like it's very personal to me, my art. So I also started doing hair art, stitching the hair on paper, my own hair, collecting it and stitching it on paper, and then combining it with pen or paint. And people always wanted me to like show a work in progress or behind the scenes or some story behind my art, that just a picture or the name of the artwork can't really tell. So I also started vlogging and writing blogs and all of that about my experiences.
That's super awesome. I've never heard of hair art before, or maybe I've seen it and just didn't realize. Are you doing it in like different patterns, or are you doing it like it's a face and then you're putting stitching your hair onto the paper to be like the person's hair that you've drawn?
It depends. Sometimes I make it into like specific objects. Sometimes I make it in the background pattern. It depends on, I just like to go with the flow. So it just depends on what I'm feeling with the color scheme, or if it's black and white, or if it's only hair. And it's such a fun medium to experiment with. I've never use a medium like that before, because it's like very slippery, so you have to, and it's hair, so it will break easily, and some strands are long, some strands are shorter, you know, the color, or if it's dirty, if it has something in it, or if it's clean. So I just keep experimenting with all of that, and I found my way, which is to tape, like stitch it like needle and thread, but hair and needle, and tape it at the back. And I think it, even the back looks very cool just with tape. So yeah, that's what I do.
That's super awesome. And I know that you mentioned in school that you didn't like art at first because of being bullied. What would you say the art programs in school, do you think that they should make, like what kind of changes do you think that they should make to allow for more self-expression with art?
I think that art shouldn't always be by the book, because yes, I know we have in schools, we have specific topics or units or themes or specific artists or periods of history that we have to cover, which is great, because there, yeah, should be a structure and not everyone should do their own thing. They should stick to the curriculum, but within the curriculum, I also think that because art is about freedom of expression, so even if there's like draw a work inspired by this particular artist, or draw a work in this expressionism, impressionism, abstract, realistic art form, or use this particular color, this is the color scheme, even within this specific, there should be a freedom of expression, and it shouldn't be like, why is this line not straight, or why are you blending this color, or why are you inventing this form? It shouldn't be like copy paste or that rigid, because I think art is about expressing yourself, and everyone has different ways to express themselves, so it shouldn't be that limited, and like everyone's art has to look the same. So that's what I think.
I completely agree. I think that that is really important. And with being bullied for creative expression, like how did that impact, do you feel like, other areas of your life and your mental health?
I think that it doesn't matter what you're bullied for specifically. I think it definitely lowers your self-esteem, and self-doubt just creeps in, and you feel like an imposter, like I shouldn't belong here, or you start to feel insecure about mostly everything. You start to overthink that maybe I'm not good enough, and all of those limiting beliefs, which naturally happen when you're an artist, even if you haven't been bullied. But for me, I feel like sometimes it happens a little more because I have that trauma. Sometimes I can still hear those voices in my head and then I start to overthink that. But I also think that it makes you stronger and more confident, which I know it sounds contradictory, but I actually think like, hey, I overcame all of that and I, proved them wrong in a way that they said I could never do it, and look that I did it. And if I overcame all of that, then I can overcome anything. And I am just being myself now, and I feel so free from societal expectations. Like, I don't really care what anyone says anymore, because I'm just being me, and people will talk, that's what they do, but I don't really mind that, because I'm happy with who I am. And even if I have just one follower, or if I don't have anyone who likes my art and only I like my art, I'm happy with that, because it's about me. So that's what I feel.
That is so awesome. I'm so proud of you. What are some of like the self-care tips that you may have that you use to help overcome the self-doubt when it came to your art?
I would say I'm an introvert naturally, so sometimes opening up is really difficult to me, to have like these vulnerable, raw, real conversations, even with my close family and friends. So sometimes I tend to just shut out everything and everyone around me and just be with myself and let it out in whatever shape or form it takes. It could be just cry it out, it could be screaming, it could be just lying in bed all day, or it could be just, I find that writing really helps, just journaling, or letting your emotion out. Like, you don't have to show everything you create or journal or about, it can just be for yourself. So I found that really helped. Or just being in nature and meditating, practicing gratitude. And sometimes, opening up and having those conversations and saying that, I'm going through a difficult time right now, and I really need your support and for you to be there for me. And I'm sorry if I react or overreact, or I'm not at my best today because I'm having a low day. And people actually really understand that, and they're there for you. So those are some self-care techniques.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely more of an extrovert, but I feel like there are times when I process things better by writing them out or just sitting and listening to music and crying it out. I'm definitely more of the person that needs to talk about it, whether it's with one or more people. But I definitely can relate to sometimes just needing to write it out or just to be. And I think that sometimes it can be hard to do that because it feels isolating to some degree, but I think that it's really important. It's better to do that than to just stuff it and not process it at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that sometimes we tend to, even when we're by ourselves, we just tend to avoid bringing it out and just letting it sit and saying that, I'll just deal with it later, because I really can't let it out right now. Otherwise, I don't know. I won't be able to get through the day or get through whatever I have to do, my to-do list or something, and just let's just put on a face and pretend everything's okay, even if it's not really inside, but externally I can still, you know, smile and take it for a bit. But I realized that that led to more harm than actually positive, because I think that the more you sit with it, the more it will just boil up, and it will, the way you let it out will be extreme. And maybe you just let it out like in anger or frustration, and it's not anyone's fault, but they're like, why is she reacting like that? Or like, why is he doing that? I didn't do anything wrong. And then you realize that, oh, I'm sorry, it just boiled up inside me, and it's all just coming out in the wrong way. So I think it's just better to deal with it in that moment, however you can, and just calm yourself down and realize that, you know, it's not anyone's fault, but you don't want to hurt anyone around you.
Yes, I think sometimes we can think like, oh, well, crying about it's not going to change anything. And while it may not change the circumstance, it's going to change how we react to the circumstance and those around us. Because otherwise, like you said, we're going to react to people in ways that, one, isn't either okay, and two, like, they're going to be like, well, I didn't do anything, because it's unrelated. I think getting to the root of the problem and realizing, hello, why do I feel this way, is important. So I'm not sure how editing out the last little bit will be, so you guys may be a little bit confused, but basically I could hear her, but she couldn't hear me, so we reconnected with a different call. So anyways, my question, my next question was going to be, if you could go back and say something to you, your younger self, about your self-worth in art, what would that be?
I would say just be confident in who you are, because who you are is so beautiful and so unique. And I always tell this to people, but I realize that sometimes the advice we give to other people, we don't follow for ourselves. But I keep doing like these affirmations every morning now, saying like, I'm strong, I'm brave, I'm confident, and I can get through everything, and whatever I can think of, what I want to tell other people, but sometimes I have to remind myself of it. So that's what I would tell my younger self, that just be confident and love yourself for who you are, all of its parts. Yeah.
I love that. I am definitely the same way. I feel like my best friends, I will often give some stellar advice, but then I do not take it myself. And then they will be like, what do you always tell me in this situation? And I'll be like, I would say this to you. And they're like, well, then why aren't you doing it? So I can definitely relate there. And I know that you mentioned that you went to school for some art stuff. Is that the only thing that you went to school for, or do you have more than one degree?
So I actually did my bachelor's in communication. So I was going to go into like advertising, PR, marketing, that kind of thing. Because at that time I wasn't confident in my art. I was like, oh, art is not a proper job. I don't want to be one of those starving artists. No one's going to even take me seriously, because I don't even know if people will actually like my art because of the past bullying experience. And I was like, oh, what if they criticize me again and I'm not successful? And I should just, you know, keep it hidden. And so I filled like these sketchbooks, but I always kept them hidden. I never showed them publicly because I was so afraid of the reaction. So I was like, I'll just keep doing that for myself, but I think I need a proper, stable job, of course. So I studied communication, but after I graduated from there, I was stuck again. Because at that time, I had started growing more confident in my art, and all my free time was spent doodling, drawing, sketching, and sketchbooks. So I took a gap year to figure out what I wanted to do, because I knew I couldn't do both at that time, like physically, emotionally. It wasn't possible. So I took a gap year, and the first thing I did was like share one piece on social media. And I thought it was the bravest thing. I still think it's one of the bravest things I've ever done. So I shared my piece on social media. I'm like, hey, I'm an artist, and this is when I'm the first ever pieces I'm sharing with you guys, something, something. And the reaction was, wow, this is so beautiful. Do you do customized art? Can you make like a customized piece for me? Do you have product? This would look so good on a t-shirt or a mug or a curtain or everything. And do you sell this? So what kind of other work do you do? And people started asking all these questions and sending me. So I started getting invites for like events happening. So like fairs and bazaars. And it's so funny because at that time I was in China, in Tianjin, in like the school I had studied at. And the first bazaar or fair or stall that I set up with my art was at my school. And it was also the school where I was bullied. And I was like, now I'm going as this confident artist, and I'm going back to that place. I had so many good memories in that school too, because it was also where my art teachers encouraged and supported me. My middle and high school art teachers really showed me a different way to look at art in a positive light. And they were like, you're unique. You should really explore this. And your art is beautiful as it is. So with all those good and bad memories, I had set up my first art bazaar in that school. And then I kept doing like bazaars, fairs, events, creating customized pieces, selling my work, making products, building my website, all of that stuff I did in my gap year. And then I decided that, yeah, this is what I want to do full time professionally. So that's when I decided to do my master's in art. Yeah.
That is so awesome. I love that full circle moment. That's so amazing and awesome. And do you wish that you had gone for art initially, or are you glad that you also got that other education?
I don't believe in having like regrets or something. I think that the decision I made was right for me at that time and in that moment. And I think it's good that I have, like, I'm so confident in my art now, and I know that the starving artist is not always true, because people have been so successful with their art. But at that time, I thought it was always better to have a plan B, and I can always go back to communication. And So yeah, I think that was really helpful in so many ways. And yeah, I'm glad that I did that. And now I'm also happy that I'm working in an international school here in Phuket and doing my art. So that's good too.
That's so awesome. So what do you do at the school?
So I'm working for United World College, UWC Thailand, and it has 18 international schools all over the world, so the UWC movement, and it's unlike any other school I've studied at or worked at, because there's so many stories that you will hear that are so heartwarming and inspiring. Like, we offer scholarships to so many kids that are from like war zone areas, refugees, villages, all of those. And they have a different experience of the world. So it's like their first time stepping out of their country and coming somewhere to study internationally, and they ask questions like, oh, so we're allowed to wear shorts and a t-shirt, or how do you use a computer, or is this what you call a phone, and is this okay, is that okay? And it's so interesting, and I think that's the beauty of being international, that you get to experience all these cultures and stories and foods and dances and everything, and share these kind of experiences and help each other grow and learn. And this movement was also nominated recently for the second time in 3 years. It was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. And yeah, right now we have, this week we have like a conference. So it's called the UWC Congress. This week we have the UWC Congress, where people from all the schools around the world gather for a big conference and event and activities. So right now I'm working in the library, and the library is the VIP area for all the heads and directors and stuff. So we're doing that this week, preparing for that and hosting that this week. And then the library is like just organizing the bookshelves, checking in, checking out, having classes, and making beautiful displays and all of that. And it's actually funny because this was also one of my dream jobs when I was younger, because I love books and I love kids, and this job happened. So yeah, it's also another dream come true for me.
That's so awesome. I'm so happy for you, and that sounds like an amazing school. And for your art, how do you do your art as a job? Like, I know that you mentioned selling it. Is it just pieces that you've made that you then sell, or is it custom, like to order? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's actually both. So yeah, I make artwork, and it's all my pieces are available for sale, but also I take orders for customized art or commissioned art. So people can request what kind of feature or object or for what occasion they want or what color they want specifically, or it can be like a logo for a company or like a motif or whatever people want, I can make in my own style. So I do that. And then I also do workshops. So I've collaborated with like schools and universities, and I've had workshops for adults as well. So I also do art workshops, and then I do interviews, and I also have like events where I participate in fairs and bazaars. So I do all of that.
That's really awesome. And do you sell your art internationally, or is it just in whatever country you're currently in?
No, it's available all over the world. So anyone from any country can buy it.
That's awesome. And do you ship like physical items, or if it's internationally, do you just do like digital art?
Well, it's like my original pieces of art. So it's like I can give them a picture also if they want digitally, but usually, yeah, it can be both.
That's awesome. And what are your general like price ranges if somebody listening was interested in maybe purchasing?
All the prices are on my website, so yeah, you can check it out. And I'm also open for negotiation, and yeah, I can probably lower the price for you once you chat.
That's awesome. So for those listening, if you do not follow the Beautiful _ Legacy Instagram, I would suggest following that so you can get all any updates on upcoming episodes, see videos from the guests, all the things. But on the Instagram, in the highlights, there is a guest link highlight. And so any guest that has like a website or anything like that, I do put it in the stories when the episode drops, and then I put that in the highlights. So you'll be able to find her website in that highlight. And if anybody for whatever reason has trouble finding it, definitely feel free to message me at the Beautiful _ Legacy Instagram, and I can get that link for you. And what would you say your advice to those who want to pursue art as a job would be?
I would say just start. Like, it sounds really simple, but it's actually like when you're going through all of like the first time, I know the fear really creeps up on you. So my advice is just start, like in whatever way you can, big, small, whatever medium, whatever, just start somehow. Just force yourself, not force yourself, but just like motivate yourself to draw for the first time, or record for the first time, or post for the first time. And once you get that first time jitter out, I think it will really flow smoothly. So
that's my advice. I completely agree. I think sometimes we overcomplicate things, and I think just starting is a great place to start. And that I think that sometimes we're like, hey, this year I'm going to do X, Y, and Z by the end of the year. And then we let the year slip away from us. And one thing that I am trying to live by even more is that this year is going to be the same as last year if I don't do anything different. And so I think that just starting is a really good place to start, and I completely agree with you. Is there anything else that I may not have asked, or we may not have talked about, that you wanted to add?
No, I think we pretty much covered it all.
Awesome. And where can people find you on social media?
So I am on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, TikTok, and I have my website. So, yeah.
Is the Instagram, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm saying it's like Gurm's Art on every platform. So, GURMSART. Yeah.
Perfect. And with the podcast being called Beautiful Legacy, I ask all my guests, what kind of legacy do you want to leave and why?
So I know most people want like fame or money or success, but for me, those meanings have a different thing. Like, yeah, that would be actually so nice. And I sometimes have big dreams for my art, but for me, the real success is just inspiring people and bringing a smile to their face and just spreading hope and having like real raw human conversations and genuine connections, because I think that art connects us all in a way that nothing else really can, because it doesn't need words, or it's its own language. And there's, even with one piece, there's so many different perspectives. So when I talk to people and I'm like, what do you think this piece means? Or what does this remind you of? People tell me stories that I never thought of myself as an artist. And when I connect with my fellow artists and creators, and they inspire me and spread hope, I want to do the same. So I think that's the legacy I want to leave.
I think that's a beautiful legacy. I love that. And again, thank you so much for giving us some of your time this morning. And as always, to the listeners, you are loved, you are worth it, you are priceless, and I will talk to you all later.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, Abigail. It was a pleasure.
Of course.